This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Hey, Craig.
What's up?
I wonder what it'd be like if Technorama was picked up by Podshow.
I wonder.
Corporate accounts payable, Mina speaking. Just a moment. Corporate accounts payable, Mina speaking. Just a moment.
An internet error occurred. What the f*** does that mean?
I don't know, Craig.
It's Craig. Not Greg, not Craig. It's Craig with a K. It's not that difficult.
Well, at least your name isn't George Michael.
There is nothing wrong with that name.
There wasn't until that no-talent ass clown started getting arrested everywhere. Uh-oh, here comes Curry. I need to get back to work.
I just know Adam Curry's gonna make me come in on Saturday and do a podcast. And I'll do it. Because I'm a big wuss.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
You are not a wuss, and, well, I too am not a wuss.
Hello, Chuck, Craig. Hi, it's Adam. How's it going? Did you guys get the memo about putting cover tags on your podcast?
Yeah, I got the memo right.
Yeah, if you could do that, you know, that would be great. Oh, and I'm going to need you to do a podcast on Saturday. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
That was a little weird.
Yeah, but you're still a wuss.
Hello, welcome to Technorama, the show. What's the note say?
Turn the page.
The Skinnable Show. You can imagine us wearing blue, gray, green, and maroon.
Yeah. All right, turn the corner, go!
I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man who keeps things running even in his sleep. It's my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good, Chuck, and how are you tonight?
I am fine. Oh, Craig, you've got something in your teeth. You want to take care of that? It's kind of okay. Embarrassing when that happens on a pot.
Hold on. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing on a podcast when you got something in your teeth.
Yes, thanks.
I don't think your webcam's running tonight, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty amazing you can see that.
This is show number 30,189. Someone's been fooling with the show notes, or we're really prolific. For March 6, 2006.
We've been podcasting since 1927. Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to Technorama for tonight. Sorry.
We play Little Rascals in the background. Coming up on tonight's show, we've got, yes, another Andy Griffith giveaway. I mean, another Griffin gadget giveaway.
So I read that as Andy Griffith, too.
We've been playing too much Barney Fife lately. We talked with some guys that were wandering around work when I walked in yesterday on the weekend, and they were testing our smoke detectors, so I grabbed the iRiver and wanted to talk to them, and we've got a whole bunch more stuff, so stick around. We'll be back right after On This Day in Tech History.
Oh, by the way. Shoutouts go to Adam Curry for doing a voice in our intro.
On this day in tech history for March 6th, 2006. This is March 6th. It's the 65th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 300 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1521 that Ferdinand Magellan discovers Guam. And Dmitry Mendeleev presents the first periodic table to the Russian Chemical Society on this date in 1869. 120 years ago today, the first AC, or alternating current electric power plant, went online. And Detroit saw its first automobile on this date in 1896. Charles B. King drove along a major street where his newfangled contraption broke down in front of spectators. Kind of reminds me of Bill Gates doing a presentation. On this date in 1899, Bayer registers aspirin as a trademark. And on March 6, 1930, Clarence Birdseye introduced the first commercially available frozen foods. In 1947, the USS Newport News was the first air-conditioned naval ship. It was launched from Newport News, Virginia. And the trial of Ethel and Julius Rosenberg gets underway on this date in 1951. On this date in 1992, the Michelangelo computer virus begins to affect computers. And only 9 years ago today, Britain's Queen Elizabeth launched the monarchy's first official website at www.royal.gov.uk. Happy birthday goes on in this date in 1475 to the Italian artist and architect Michelangelo Buonarroti, better known as Michelangelo. Also, happy birthday to Josef von Fraunhofer, the German physicist who invented the diffraction grating and superb optics. He was born on this date in 1787. And Charles Augustin de Coulomb, the French physicist who discovered an inverse relationship on the force between charges and the square of its distance. This was later named after him as Coulomb's Law. He was born on this date in 1841. And finally, happy birthday to Valentina Tereshkova, the Russian cosmonaut. She was the first woman in space aboard Vostok 6 in 1963. She turned 69 years old today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for March 6th, 2006.
Any morning is a good morning when you're listening to Chuck and Craig in Technorama. This is Victor Cahill from the... Hey! What happened to you guys? I thought you were singers. Back to Chuck and Craig.
Well, yeah, we want to give special credit to the people who helped with that intro. Adam Curry, obviously, was the manager guy. That was all a clip, a parody of Office Space. It's a good movie about some high-tech workers and their management. And you know what's really interesting? That thing works on so many levels. My boss likes it because it tells him how management can really suck and what not to do. And you know, the employees love it because everybody's run into a situation similar to that. It's just a great movie. So thanks to my wife for doing a couple of parts, Lance Heath from the Digital Experience Podcast, and at the end, we've got a clip from Douglas E. Welch does an awesome Milton. So you have to listen
all the way. And you know what's funny is Douglas has not seen the movie. I was like, well, Douglas, it's like, that's material for your show. He's like, it reminds him too much of what he's left behind. I was like, but it's a comedy. He was like, no, I refuse to.
So he did all that without knowing. You just kind of gave him instructions?
He went out on the net and listened to an audio clip, and that's as close as he's been to the movie.
Oh, he's got to get it. Adam downloaded it and loved it. He said, that was great stuff. So we'll be sending that to him. Don't be surprised if you hear that same thing on Daily Source Code or something. That would just be great.
Letter for me.
And we've got a couple of emails in the letter bag. Let me rummage around here. There they are.
There it is.
Both of them. As Ken Rakowski from Ken Rakowski's radio show would proudly say, millions and trillions of emails come flying through our mailboxes every day, and we pick out the special ones just for you. Or something in words of that effect.
The special ones.
We even have to go digging in the spam folder to get these.
That's right.
From Mike Wills. He says 300 divided by 12.95 is 24 months. He's talking about my TiVo payback period.
Oh, you know, I was sitting there going, I did not know that, and I was looking at trying to read this before the show, and I was like, what in the crap is he talking about?
He's talking about TiVo. I said I paid the lifetime membership, and he said $300 divided by $12.95 is 24 months it will take you to break even. If that box goes dead in a year, you are out $150. However, because you will argue it, yes, if you own it longer, I will be money ahead. What happens when you start hacking it? Well, the honest truth is I probably won't hack this thing. And if it goes dead in a year, any machine can be dead in a year.
Okay, next story.
Next. We're still going on about the TiVo thing. I don't have much TiVo news this week, but I will be looking for more in about a week. I'd like to give periodic updates of what I am doing and how it's worked. Next one's from Norbert. Hey, Chuck, I was listening to your show about you having picked up a TiVo. Still on the TiVo thing. Well, I must say, congratulations on getting into the time-shifting age of TV. I should tell you about Replay TV. Yes, Replay is the competitor to TiVo. Yes, they are no longer making the units, but they will be selling their software to go with the Hapage TV cards for PCs. I have three active Replay units in my house and a wonderful setup that allows me to stream recorded shows from one unit to another on my home LAN. Home LAN security? I did a great segment for Victor. He's talking about Victor from the Typical PC User podcast. Some months ago, and thought you or even Craig might find it interesting if you have a few minutes. I have about a 17-minute segment in the show. Wow, that's a long time. I also have links to the software and sites for Replay TV stuff. Check it out.
You know, I did listen to that a while back. Yeah, that is pretty good. I think he was talking about the Replay.
And we have a Skype voicemail. Actually, we have a couple of voicemails. We'll play. First one is from Lingo, a.k.a. Mike, who has a question about his iPod and some MP4s.
Hi, guys. This is a geek in need. It's Lingo. It's an iPod question, and I seem to be having a little problem playing MP4s on my iPod. What is the best program to run or convert videos for my iPod? I have one in an MP4 format, but it won't play on my iPod. Thanks, guys, and have a great day.
He's talking about Windows platform. I had to clarify that from him. I don't know a whole lot about converting Windows. He did show me the info screen from iTunes. It is an MP4. The interesting thing was it doesn't say overall bitrate on it, as many of my MP4s do. What do you think, Craig?
Well, I don't have a video iPod, so I can't tell you, but I don't know how picky it is about the resolution. What if you try to play something that's out of resolution, that will it not play?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't think to ask that.
Yeah, is that why they won't play? But there's a ton of programs out there to do conversions, and I think that Handbrake is available for Windows now.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. But I don't know what all it'll let you do. See, there's a lot of variables here. Is this a regular MP4 that was it downloaded as a podcast or video podcast?
Handbrake turns it like literally rips the DVD and turns it into an MPEG-4 file.
So that's an all-in-one solution.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to know if these are videos that are formatted for the iPod. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think it's specific to the iPod.
Okay, well, if they're not formatted correctly, you know, it won't play because I think it's kind of picky about what it will show you, you know, the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it'll scale it down. Now, on my Pocket PC, I could play videos that are formatted for my TV, but they'll still play them, you know, it'll scale it down. So I don't know if the video iPod does that or not. So
we'll do some more looking, and we look to the listeners for assistance. Send us your audio clips or emails about Lingo's iPod question. I honestly haven't done a whole lot of conversion on the Windows machine to do that. Most of my efforts are on the Mac. Hey, we also want to remind you that we want a piece of your mind because we don't have enough of ours to go around anymore. No, we're looking for your feedback on the show, what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see, any improvements you could make, too long, too short. We're going to put a link in the show notes. It's in the listener feedback section, or there is a new link right at the top level on the wiki. If you go to chuckchat.com/wiki, you'll see it. Give us some feedback. All three shows are in there if you're interested in commenting on any of the others. But starting to get some feedback. We've been at this almost a year. We're interested in hearing what works, what doesn't, what you would like to change, and what not.
And Chuck and Craig are not correct answers for that last one.
Correct answers for what?
What you'd like to change.
Well, yeah, the hosts are non-negotiable at this point.
Chuck Tomasi and Craig Steck bring you Chuck Chatterama, the place where common sense stops and geekiness begins.
Shout out to the chat room. That's because the first name on there is Chad. To the chat room. We've got Chad, Jeep, and Dave, Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, Parrothead, who's one of the gentlemen who's coming up in the clip. Runtime Error, Scafey, Southern Harmony, Stingray 42 is currently away. Tim Elliott, Victor Cahial, and Zaha Doom. Hey, we're just hopping along and the conversation's going great. If you happen to be around on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or whatever time that makes it in your neck of the woods, jump in, irc.freenode.net. Channel is pound Technorama or Sharp or Octothorpe or Tic Tac Toe or whatever you want to call that thing in your language.
Hey, by the way, I may say that is a freshly tanned Victor that is back now.
Victor back from Belize.
Yeah, and all over the world.
He's probably got all kinds of fresh podcast material.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I'm sure he was thinking about podcasts on.
I was. When I was on a cruise, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I know. You had one like almost every day. I bet you were paying out the yin-yang to upload it from the ship's broadband.
Yeah, that nice, fast, slow broadband. I do have a follow-up. We mentioned that Phil Clark had that interesting iPod iTrip mystery where he was going along and heard Howard Stern. He sent in a bit of a clip for that. I'd like to play that. He does his own words, and it makes a little more sense when he tells the story. So here we go.
So hi, Chuck and Craig, this is Phil Clark. Just wanted to find out if any of the other listeners had this experience with their iTrip plugged into their iPod. You know how when you're driving along, you've chosen the FM band that you're going to play it on, and all of a sudden it kind of fades in and out a little bit because you've gone through a bad spot? Well, sometimes you can pick up your iPod and move it around the cab of the car or the truck or wherever you are, and you can actually pick up that radio station a little better. The iTrip seems to act as a receiver or some type of amplifier. Here's an example of what I mean.
All pretty good, and I'll leave that to Victor to recommend it to you. Lots of storage. Grab yourself this external radio enclosure. A couple of drives to put in. And have some serious scout back to Victor.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, guys, it wasn't Technorama I was listening to, but I'm sure you know that Victor's got a good show, too. In that example, you heard me. I was stopped at a traffic light, and I was in an area where I was getting the hiss. I picked it up, I moved it around, and I was picking up a radio station that was playing some kind of modern music. Well, here's a queer thing that happened to me the other day. I was driving to work. I got the same fade out. I picked up the iPod to try and get a better signal when I was playing, actually, Gmail podcast. And, lo and behold, I picked up Howard Stern talking to Donald Trump. Now, this was this past Monday, and I know that he was on the Howard Stern show talking about his new Apprentice television series. But here's the weird thing. That was on satellite radio. I think it's Sirius. And is it possible, then, to be picking up somebody's satellite radio from another car around me? Surely that's got a very limited area of reception. And anyway, it's not transmitting, it's receiving, isn't it? I'd be really interested to find out if some of your listeners may have an answer to this weird thing. I tried to record it
the remainder of the week, but unfortunately, it just didn't happen the same, and all I got was a sample I played you earlier. Let me know. Great show. 101, guys.
Well, Phil, as my theory went last time, I think somebody may have had a dashboard unit and may have Tim Taylored the thing to amplify just a bit more than it should have been, and it's interfering with the vehicles around it. So I have no other theory than that. I haven't heard anybody contradict me or confirm me since the last show. So
I didn't know that those things actually broadcast like on an FM channel to get to your radio. So
well, if it's kind of like an iTrip, it's going to and a dashboard unit, it will be receiving the satellite signal but transmitting an FM signal to pick it up on your local radio station.
That's
the only thing I can think of. I don't have any experience with them, so I'm making this up as I go.
Hey, who needs satellite radio, man? We got podcasts.
You know what? This might be a good idea to take the iRiver out to Best Buy or something and start asking them. Not that we'd get the right answer, but we'd get an answer.
Hey, Geek Squad, do you know what a podcast is?
Cricket, cricket, cricket.
I can't do the crickets when I'm laughing. I can't do that sound effect. Hey, I just wanted to tell everybody that we've reached the magical number of 101 listeners on the Technorama Frapper map. Head over there if you haven't put your pin on it.
And actually, our registration is now closed now that we've reached 101.
101. And as I was driving back from Milwaukee yesterday, I took a picture of exit 101. So we have that for album.
Saw that.
We got some interesting stuff going on. Do we have the typewriter?
At least for us, it's interesting. What's that?
The typewriter's broke.
No. You got to send that Woodward out.
There it is. Call the Underwood repairman.
Yeah.
You have a comment, Ronald...
Ronald Moore.
Moore, thank you. I was thinking Ronald McDonald.
He writes for BSG on the side. No, I saw this article where apparently Ron Moore, you know, like a lot of these shows, they're really tight on materials that are coming and going out of the studio.
Right.
And apparently, well, you know, the finale is next week of BSG, the 90-minute finale. And he was stating on his blog that he's starting to see a lot of pictures showing up there from the finale in these, I guess, message boards and whatnot. And he was really disappointed because, you know, a lot of people work on this really hard. And I can appreciate that. So I haven't been going to any, I don't really go to message boards for stuff like this. Because I'm always scared I might end up with a spoiler anyway. But he was talking about that, you know, if this continues, he may have to tighten up, the materials in there, which I think would kind of suck.
Frankly, I'm surprised it's not already cranked down. I really am.
I am too. And you know what? I haven't seen a whole lot except for, I guess, there's been a couple of times I went just searching and I got, oh, wow, I just saw, read a spoiler, you know? So, I don't know. That's kind of sucks, especially if he has to start. I hope he doesn't go as far as trying to close down the message boards and stuff. But
it's nice that he stays involved with the forums and things, though. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, he's in. You know, this is the kind of guy that gets fan base, you know, their relationship with the show.
Yep.
Because, hell, he's doing a podcast for, you know, for himself, so.
That's true. He gets it. So. He gets it.
Oh, yeah, so he's on the message board, but I think it's a good thing.
All right, one other item in the news before we move on. The winner of the Griffin AirClick is... Drum roll, please. That's my Foley guy? Wow. It's Chad Davis again! He won the... he won the last prize. Honest, this was a fair and square drawing. I told people at the beginning, if you want to enter for more than one, I'm not going to stop you.
Okay, well...
There were not as many entrants for the AirClick as there were for some of the previous items, but congratulations to Chad Davis. It makes the shipping easy because I've still got his address sitting on my desk at work because I just sent the last prize out Friday.
He's in the chat room wooting.
You'd man, Chad. He's got two Griffin toys. Thank you to the wonderful people at Griffin Technologies for their iPod accessories that we are able to provide. And with that...
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Tomasi and Craig Steck bring you...
Did I already play that one?
Yes.
Dang it, let's try that.
All right, it works.
Yes, I got it back. I got every bit of it.
It's small, fast, does hex and block edits. But
oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that last time.
We're your Geek Morning Show.
That's the thing about podcasts. We can be up anytime.
Don't listen to this while operating heavy machinery. You could spit out your water. I wonder what you'd get. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and make my comment.
Hey, wake me up when you're done.
I completely missed that one.
The writers of Back to the Future didn't see that one coming. Thanks, man. I had to think about that.
Special thanks to Jeep and Dave for the next piece of information. This is the modern mower cycle. This guy looks like he attached a John Deere lawnmower to the underside of a... Well, no, it's more like a fork on the front of a motorcycle. It's really hard to tell where the motorcycle ends and the lawnmower begins.
I think I saw this on American Chopper.
Did you really?
No.
It certainly would make it a lot more fun, but... Unless, of course, it only goes as fast as a traditional riding mower, then you'd be, sitting on a lawnmower going really slow with the chopper handlebars.
Yeah, it just looks like a mix between some kind of chopper and a lawnmower, which is it's really cool. I think I could be motivated to cut the grass with that thing.
Check out the link in the show notes. Wonderful picture, the whole high back seat and the whole thing. It's pretty good. Now, what is Free Space 2?
Remember the game Free Space and Free Space 2? It's kind of like, was it from Interplay, I think it was, that did Descent and all those kind of games?
You know me, I'm not a big gamer, so this one's going right over the head.
Well, Descent, you ever seen Descent, where you're going through the tunnels and you flip up inside upside down? It's an old game. You remember that?
Nope.
But you're missing out. Anyway, it was a really, cool game. Free Space was the follow up where that the Descent was taking place in tunnels and stuff. Free Space is when they took the game out into space itself.
Yeah.
And gave it a lot of freedom. Anyway, Free Space 2 is now open source, the engine and all that kind of stuff. And these people there's a lot of mods out there for it. So different themes that they apply this engine to, so you can have these cool games. Well, this one is a Battlestar Galactica mod, and when I put it in the show notes, to me it was new, and apparently they've been kind of talking about it for a while, and I don't know how long it's going to be till it does really come out, but they're saying a little bit later this year, and I'm linking to the forums where they're talking about this. There's a teaser video. Go look at that, and it'll kind of tease you into thinking that you're actually looking at part of the show. It looks so good. So I hope this is the way the game looks. Yeah, I mean, I would totally play this in a quick minute. So, anyway, you can go to the forums and download the video and check it out. It's really cool.
Other link you find in the show notes is a link to Tech Blog, which has the 10 strangest iPod accessories.
These are
pretty strange things. They've got a whole jukebox that will fit around an iPod. I mean, this is a full-standing Wurlitzer-size thing. They've got the tune buckle, which you can fit your Nano right inside on your belt buckle if you've got a Texas-sized belt buckle. Some of these are actually legit.
I like what's behind that belt buckle. Oh, wait. Sorry.
The iPod Nano thong case. That's just wrong, wrong, wrong. A wallet that your Nano slips into. A whole iPod-compatible bed. It's like, good grief. It's the frame, the headboard, and the side that has a dock.
I can see myself trying to convince my wife, we need a new bed. Why? We just need a new bed.
I lounge.
My iPod fits in it.
Toilet paper dispenser. We're not going to tell you what the iBuzz is for. You can look at the picture and see if you... There's a couple more. They're really good. I did see one that had a shaver on it. I think people were starting to make things up at that point.
Hey, I like the eye shirt.
The eye shirt was pretty funny. It's just a clip for your iPod. Was it the
in the place of the eye shirt, in place of the eye?
The letter I, and then it just says shirt, and you put your iPod shuffle on there. Now, we've got an audio clip. As I mentioned, I was wandering around work yesterday, picking up some junk computers to bring to the Recycle Center, if you remember from way back when we visited the Recycle Center. Made that trip for the first time in a couple of months to bring some junk, and I noticed these two guys testing our smoke detectors, the little things that stick out of the ceiling. You got to make sure they work. It's supposed to be tested about once a year.
Yeah, they're smoke detectors, man.
So what does a geek podcaster do? He grabs his iRiver and goes and talks to him, because I wanted to know more. Now, I do have to make one apology about this audio. It was recorded in a stairwell, so it's a little bit of reverb at the front end, and the audio levels tend to go up and down, so I had to auto-level this thing. You'll notice some artifact of that, but hopefully it comes out all right, and just another lesson for me in the masterful art of doing microphones. Standing here with
Colin Irby,
Colin and
Rick,
and you are from
Simplex Grinnell.
And what do you do?
We install and test fire alarm systems.
Okay, I see you walking around with what looks kind of like a vacuum cleaner on a cart, or some instrumentation, and you're sticking a Tupperware bowl on the end of a hose up to our various fire detection devices.
It's actually a sensitivity tester. It uses mineral oil to produce an exact amount of smoke ratio to verify that the smoke detector will go off at the proper sensitivity.
You do this for all kinds of businesses and
yes.
It's largely commercial?
And no residential at all. I tell everybody I've seen everything from the bottom of a paper mill to the top of Lambeau Field and everything in between. Schools, hospitals, nursing homes, heavy industry, logging places, all over.
And what happens if you test it and it doesn't pass?
Then we'd replace it with a new unit.
Have you found any in here that need replacing?
Yes, we have.
Good.
Yep, I mean, it tells us that we're doing our job, and I mean, and that's, we've only found one that's failed so far, and what it is, it's failed with sensitivity rating, and which means that instead of having the proper amount of smoke underneath it to go off, it would need a raging bonfire to set it off.
Good.
That's exactly it. It's no good. So that's why we fail it, and then we will make a recommendation, or we will get it replaced.
Tell me a little bit about the instrument you're using, because my thought was you walk around with a cigarette and you hold it up, and if it goes off, it goes off. I haven't heard the fire alarms going off while you were doing this testing. Are they suppressed at the moment, or?
Yeah, we disabled all of the outputs on the panel so we can do whatever we need to do without bothering everybody in the building.
And the reason we don't smoke while we do that was we went through way too many inspectors. That's why we have this machine that we do.
Okay, tell me a little bit about the machine. What does it actually do?
Like Rick said, it takes mineral oil and it vaporizes it. It pumps air into it and creates a fine mist. And then we're able to regulate the size of that particle with that machine. And the smoke detector I'm holding in my hand has a sensitivity rating of 2% obscuration per foot. And what we have to do is we have to make sure that it goes off at this level. And usually there's a plus or a minus. These don't have a plus or minus. They just are set at 2%. So with that, we set it at 2%, and it makes the right size particle to give us a 2% obscuration per foot. And then that blows the particles into the detector.
Are the particles burned?
No.
Okay.
It's just an air vapor, that mist.
And the detector can detect that and assumes it's
the smoke. Fire. Exactly. Okay. It doesn't know the difference. A smoke detector is dumb. It doesn't know the difference between dust, smoke, or fire, and that. It just sees particles is what it does. It uses an infrared light, or LED, infrared. And
as he takes a screwdriver, pries one apart.
Yeah. And it uses refraction, and as Rick will open this up and explain a little better.
Yeah, one side you've got your eye that's transmitting, the other side is receiving.
Okay, a little round circuit board
in there. It reflects the light down into there.
Yeah, there's no way for this one to actually send the signal straight down into it.
So it bounces off the particles.
Like a prism.
Oh, okay.
And then that's what sets it off, and when it sets it into alarm, that's what sets the fire alarm system off.
So two LEDs, a transmitter, receiver mounted at about 30 degrees or maybe 40 degrees to the printed circuit board.
And some of them are, I mean, this is a company called Fenwell. It's their smoke detectors. Ours are a little different. Ours actually have an LED in one spot and then like a wall that it can't get past that LED where it needs the particles to reflect it off.
How often should they be tested?
Once a year. By code, it's required to be done once a year.
Okay.
Sensitivity.
Yeah, sensitivity every other year.
Tupperware bowl and vacuum hose, you hold it up, and how do you know when it works?
You'll see the red light go on.
Oh, okay.
And that will let you tell.
Now, do all of them go on with that one?
No.
Keep it away?
Nope, only the one that I'm testing will go on.
Okay.
And now, you want Paul?
Yeah. That was his phone. Okay, the light went on.
Yep.
So that one works, and how do you know if it passed or failed?
Well, we know that it went off at its set.
Okay, so you set it according to what it's rated at. You set the instrument.
Yep, and then what we do is we go back to the fire alarm panel and make sure that it's an alarm at the fire alarm panel.
Oh, okay.
Down below, and there's a fire alarm
panel. So after every unit test, you've got to run downstairs?
Yeah, well, we'll do a couple in that to make sure, because it's a zone system. We'll do a couple and then run down, make sure that zone's an alarm, then come back up and test another
couple. Now, I'm curious how you're going to get those ones that are about 50 feet above us in the atrium.
They are listed as inaccessible. Because that was my first question when I came in and I saw them. I asked about, you know, do we need a lift or do we have a lift?
Uh-huh.
And there's no use of a lift apparently on this floor that we're on because they broke some tiles the last time they had a lift in here. So with that, we won't be able to test those, and they'll be just mounted as inaccessible. And we see that not a lot of the time, but a good share of the time, where not so much here, but you'll see in the trades where a guy will come in and have installed a smoke detector. Plumbers will come in, put their piping in. IT guys come through, put their wires in. Everything comes in on top of it. The smoke detector's on the top, and there's no way to get to it.
But wouldn't that be one of the first places that would detect smoke, is way up high in an enclosed space like that?
Yes. I mean, it's going to take a while for the smoke to get up there.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's probably...
Others would hit it before then.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, you have in a building like this, you have a sprinkler system. And so... If there's a chance that, you know, if it was a raging inferno and it got that high, the sprinkler heads are going to go off, too. Hopefully the smoke detectors, the way the systems are built, is smoke detectors supposed to go off before a sprinkler system goes off.
Do they have to test the sprinkler system at all?
Oh, yeah. Sprinkler systems get tested quarterly per code.
Do they have a Tupperware bucket or something?
Because
they're recessed heads and they'd come down and spray everything.
You don't test the heads at all.
Oh, okay.
And the heads have to be actually replaced after 100 years.
You do like a pressure test and make sure the system is
exactly.
Has integrity.
You go to the main system and it's built for a hydraulic calculation of this system is supposed to have this much demand. And then you open up and see how much residual pressure you have from the city pumping in. Or if you have a fire pump, you test the fire pump through capacity.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
No problem.
And we do thank them very much. That was really interesting. I learned all about fire detection and suppression and sprinkler heads and a whole bunch of other stuff.
That's cool.
That reminded
me. Thinking, man. I'm ready to get an interview in the drop of a hat.
Hi, River. Don't leave home without it. It reminded me of Craig's Wienermobile thing. It's like, dang, that was spur of the moment and turned out pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, I like my Wienermobile. Actually, you know what's funny is I went out in the street for that speed street, that wink, and saw the thing, came back to my desk, and I went, you know, I really should do that for Technorama because we just started. So I grabbed my PDA and went right back out there and recorded it.
Another validation of Craig being the right man for the right job.
Thanks, Chuck.
Mark Shepard sent me a whole bunch of pictures that I put in my Flickr account. We will have a link in the show notes to them. They are pictures of various jets breaking the sound barrier. And when they break the sound barrier, they make this little puff of cloud. It's a thing you can physically see. So there are about six of them in all kinds of various stages of breaking that barrier. It's a really cool thing to see.
It is cool. I looked at a couple of those, and there was one, I think it looked like it was coming out of a wormhole or something.
Speaking of the sound barrier, I am trying to get a hold of Chuck Yeager to interview. I think he'd be a fun guy to talk to and some of the things he's seen and done, but I can't find any contact information on this guy. If anybody has any clue or is better Google searcher than I am, go for it. Give me an email address.
Give me just a minute, Chuck. I'll get it for you.
Yeah, I know you will. Well, you probably by the time I'm done rolling this ID.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama, because you're in the cool club.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
I have a real quick what the truck tonight. I was flipping channels and I accidentally told TiVo to record something. I said, hey, there's a Battlestar Galactica on. So I recorded it, and when I went to watch, it was the old one from 1977. Oh my gosh, what was that? How on earth did I think that was any good when I was a kid?
Hey.
No. You look at this, it's like everybody's wearing disco costumes, has disco hair, disco makeup. Well, except for, you know, Lauren Green. He still looks like Mr. Bonanza.
Or some priest.
The computer screens were slightly better than an oscilloscope, and I think they were oscilloscopes in some points. I mean, everything was vector, and it was really cheesy. And you gotta love those Pharaoh-style helmets they used to wear. Oh, those were sweet. The premise of the story I was watching was really cheesy. They were low on pilots, so they started training some of the women, and Apollo was about to get married. This was a part one of a part two show, and she breaks the news to him right before they get married. Hey, I'm a pilot. And he goes, what? You can't do this. And, of course, it was fun watching Richard Hatch, you know, almost 30 years ago and comparing him to the Richard Hatch of today.
And hey, I did like the old Star Trek.
BSG? No, I compare it to the old Star Trek. It was...
I did like it, the old Star Trek. No, I like the old BSG to a point.
I think it was humorous to watch.
Hey, well, now it is, but you know what? I think I talked about it once before. I remember I had a copy of Pizzazz magazine from Marvel Comics, and I was like, man, that guy, that's such a ripoff. That looks like Darth Vader from the Cylon. Because there was only one in the picture, you know. So anyway, but I liked it. Galactica in 1980s dead to me.
No, that never happened. Never saw it. No. Nope, don't remember.
Nope, I hardly deny it.
But you gotta like those old shows just to pick them up and laugh at them once in a while. But I used to go to school every day and talk geek with one of my friends, going, "Oh, did you watch Battlestar Galactica last night?" And no different than the coffee pot today. Standing around,
hey,
going,
"It's funny how life just comes back around." Now you're, dude, did you see Battlestar Galactica last night?
We're like big kids again.
Some things never change.
Speaking of never change, you found a link to a. Somebody made a real-life video of the Simpsons intro.
Not just somebody. These are the Simpsons creators. They did this.
Okay. I didn't get the connection there.
Yeah, season 17 is about to start up, and they did this intro, and apparently Matt Groening handpicked all these actors to do this. So I've watched it about 15 times today. I was like, just amazed by looking at it, because it's shot for shot. It's just like the intro to the Simpsons show. So
they
anyway,
didn't
I got a couple
quite
links.
Get Marge's hair right, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, you can't just make a big tall. No, that wouldn't work. But now she actually looks like her, and it could be a little bit in the face, you know. But I got links to a YouTube link and one to Google Video, whichever one you care to go.
I prefer YouTube better.
Hmm?
I think I prefer YouTube a little bit better.
Do you? I like the Google Video because you can actually download some of them.
Oh, can you? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, just look over the side. It says download Windows or PC or Windows Mac, rather.
All right, looking at the clock on the wall, looks like it's getting time to wrap
upside
it
down.
Up. Yeah, the clock is... No, well, there's two hard drive clocks over here, and neither of them are upside down, but they are saying it's getting late. The show is running on. The show notes say we're just about done. There's just a couple of things I'd like to stick in. Don't forget, we want your feedback on the show. Links in the show notes. Links on the main web wiki site. And show number 100 is coming up. This is 89, or 30,189. We're looking for the big 32,000. No, we're looking for audio comments. If you want to leave us an audio clip or an email is also acceptable, but I want to sort of chain some of these. If my calculations are correct, show number 100 is about April 12th. So you've got a little bit of time, but don't wait till the last minute because you might not make it. Some things we do try to plan ahead. And speaking of planning ahead, we've got a ton. I mean, I spent nothing but yesterday and this morning, it seems like, asking people if they were interested in interviews. And I'm getting some really cool acknowledgments. We just got to set these up, and we're going to have some awesome interviews coming up in mid to late March, maybe even string them into April if they're not that time sensitive. And stay tuned. Stay subscribed with the feed, and you'll get everything as it comes down to you.
You got me excited, Chuck.
I'll tell you when we're offline who we've got. Of course, you can just read the, you know, the Spindle Wiki, and you know what's going on. I did a whole bunch of updates in there today.
That's right. I have to go check that out.
Give him the scoop.
Okay. Here we go. Listener line is 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com or send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. Or you can email me, it's Craig, that's K-R-E-G, it's not that hard, it's with a K, at chuckchat.com. And you can check out our website at www.chuckchat.com, our forum, swag, our webcam, mailing list, and links to our nice little chat room here.
This show is a member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com if you're listening to this show by getting it through the link on the website. Hey, consider subscribing and getting the show automatically delivered to you for free. Drop either one of us an email if you'd like to get more information or you have problems with that. Tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, we always give you a big binary high five for absolutely free.
101.
Take care, everybody. It's been fun. It's been real, and it's been real fun.
Good night, y'all.
Bye now.
Please don't touch my stapler. This is my stapler. I swear, if I have to listen to Technorama one more time, I'm gonna burn this place to the ground. I'm listening to my podcast at an acceptable level.